We're reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, Chapter 5, The Activities of Shakshi Gopal, texts 148 to 152. So I'll just read texts 148 to 151, and then we'll all chant together 152, which is on the board. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had thus regained external consciousness, he asked Lord Nityananda Prabhu, "Please return my staff." Nityananda Prabhu then replied, "It has been broken into three parts." Nityananda Prabhu said, "When you fell down in ecstasy, I caught you, but both of us together fell upon the staff. Thus the staff broke under our weight. Where the pieces have gone, I cannot say. It is certainly because of my offense that your staff was broken. Now you can punish me on this account as you think proper." So text 152. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Translation. After hearing the story about how his staff had been broken, the Lord expressed a little sadness and, displaying a bit of anger, began to speak as follows. Purport. Sri Nityananda Prabhu considered Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's acceptance of sannyas to be useless. He therefore relieved the Lord of the trouble of carrying the staff. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu expressed anger because he wanted to teach all other sannyasis that they should not give up the staff before attaining the platform of Paramahansa. Seeing that the regulative principles could be slackened by such action, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to carry the staff personally. However, Nityananda broke it. For this reason, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu displayed a little anger. It is said in the Bhagavad Gita 3.21, "Yad yat acharati shrestas tad tad eva taro janaha." Whatever great people do, others follow. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to follow the Vedic principles strictly in order to save inexperienced neophytes who try to imitate Paramahansas. Yasya prasadadagyopi sadya sava gyatam vrajet sa sri chaitanya devo me bhagavan samprasidatu. Even a person with no knowledge can immediately acquire all knowledge simply by the benediction of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Therefore, I am praying to the Lord for His causeless mercy upon me. Vande Sri Krishna Chaitanya Nityananda Sahodito Gaudadaye Pushpavanto Chitro Shando Tamonado. I offer my respectful obeisances unto Sri Krishna Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, who are like the sun and moon. They have arisen simultaneously on the horizon of Gauda to dissipate the darkness of ignorance and thus wonderfully bestow benediction upon all. Jayatam surato pango mama mande mate gati matsavasva padambojo radha madana mohano. Glory to the all-merciful Radha and Madan Mohan. I am lame and ill-advised, yet they are my directors, and their lotus feet are everything to me. Divyad vrindaranya kalpadrumada srimad ratnagara simhasanasto srimad radha srila govinda devo prastali bisevyamano sumarami. In a temple of jewels in Vrindavan, underneath the desire tree, Sri Sri Radha Govinda, served by their most confidential associates, sit upon an effulgent throne. I offer my humble obeisances unto them. Sri Manrasa Rasam Rambi Vamsi Vatatata Stitaha Kashen Venu Svene Gopir Gopinatha Sri Estunaha. May Gopinathji, who attracts all the gopis with the song of his flute and who has begun the most melodious rasa dance on the bank of the Yamuna in Vamshivat, be merciful upon us. Jaya Jaya Gorachandra, Jaya Kripa Sindhu, Jaya Jaya Sachisuta, Jaya Dina Bandhu. All glories unto Sri Gaurahari, who is an ocean of mercy. All glories unto you, the son of Sachidevi, for you are the only friend of all fallen souls. Jaya Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Dvaita Chandra, Jaya Srivasadi Jaya Gora Bhakta Vrinda. All glories unto Lord Nityananda and Advaita Prabhu, and all glories unto the devotees of Sri Chaitanya, headed by Srivas Thakur. Shunikichu Mahaprabhu Dukha Prakashila Ishad Kroda Kori Kichu Kahitela Gila. After hearing the story about how his staff had been broken, the Lord expressed a little sadness and, displaying a bit of anger, began to speak as follows. So you'll hear tomorrow what he begins to speak. So tune in for tomorrow's next episode. So there's 2 points I wanted to cover in this talk. One is to give a little bit more detail about this Dandabhanga episode, the breaking of Lord Chaitanya's staff, as he calls it, which can be found in the Chaitanya Bhagavat. There's a more extensive account in there, and it's quite a bit different also from the account we have here. But first of all, just looking at the previous verses, which don't have a purport. Well, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was on his way to Puri. He'd gone through the gates called Ataranala, which we heard about last week. And he was in a very ecstatic mood. In a previous verse, 146, it says, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu laughed, cried, danced, and made many ecstatic vibrations and sounds. Although the temple was only 6 miles away, to him the distance seemed like thousands of miles. So, this is his internal mood in total ecstasy. And there's a particular verse that in the Srimad Bhagavatam, which explains something about this. It's in the 11th canto. Evam vrata sva priya nama kirtya jatanurago druta chitta uchai. Hasatyato rodita roti gayati unmadavan nichati logabaya. By chanting the holy name of the Supreme Lord, one comes to the stage of love of Godhead. So that's encouraging, because everybody here is chanting the holy name of the Lord. Then the devotee is fixed in his vow as an eternal servant of the Lord. And he gradually becomes very much attached to a particular name and form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As his heart melts with ecstatic love, he laughs very loudly, or cries or shouts. Sometimes he sings and dances like a madman, for he is indifferent to public opinion. So it would be nice at some point to reach this stage of ecstatic love by chanting the holy name. And we're promised that that will happen. But the point I want to speak about is the fact that it says, sometimes he sings and dances like a madman, for he is indifferent to public opinion. Now, if we were to sing and dance like a madman in public, indifferent to public opinion, we may not create such a favorable impression on most people. Some people might appreciate, but other people might feel that this was a bit strange. So, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he has two different moods that he's displaying here. One is this ecstatic laughing, crying, dancing, making ecstatic vibrations and sounds. But then, in the section that we're covering today, he has a slightly different mood. Thus walking and walking, the Lord eventually arrived at the place known as Ataranala. Arriving there, he expressed his external consciousness, speaking to Sri Nityananda Prabhu. So he expressed his external consciousness. So the laughing and dancing and crying is an expression of his internal consciousness. But now he's changed his expression to his external consciousness. So I wanted to just maybe discuss a little bit about this, these two different aspects of Lord Chaitanya's activities or his character. So when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had thus regained external consciousness, he asked Lord Nityananda Prabhu, "Please return my staff." Nityananda Prabhu then replied, "It had been broken into three parts." And then he explains how they both fell down in ecstasy and Nityananda caught him. Then they both fell over and broke the danda. "Thus the staff broke under our weight. Where the pieces have gone, I cannot say." He could have said, but he chose not to. And then he said, "It's certainly because of my offense that your staff was broken. Now you can punish me on this account as you think proper. So then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, having heard this story about how the staff had been broken, he expressed a little sadness and displayed a bit of anger. So at this point, he's more conscious of the public impression. That's one of the points that I wanted to discuss, that should we be, should we just let rip and dance and cry and sound ecstatic sounds, or should we be more circumspect, especially in public? Even though, in fact, internally we may be actually feeling such ecstatic symptoms. So obviously, Srila Prabhupada, he was an example of somebody who actually looked, well, I wouldn't say he looked like a normal person, because in listening to the reminiscences of his disciples, it doesn't appear that he ever really does look like your average Joe. He was definitely very attractive, even effulgent. He didn't actually display ecstatic symptoms that often. There was one occasion that I can recall hearing about. He was in Atlanta. And in Atlanta, I believe, have you been to the Atlanta temple? You have. I believe the Gornitai deities there. I mean, maybe there's more deities there now as well. But at the time Prabhupada arrived, there were Gornitai deities. And he started to speak. I don't remember exactly what he started to speak about, but he was meditating on Gornitai and their mercy, their compassion on all the fallen conditioned souls. And then he just went into like samadhi, and I believe tears came from his eyes. And he couldn't speak anymore for a few minutes. And, I don't know how long exactly, but for some time. And so then eventually, I think the devotees started kirtan. And I met one devotee who was there at that time, Niguna Prabhu, because he lived in the Atlanta temple. And he just said it was just totally ecstatic. There's another occasion where it happened in Mayapur. And there was one memory by a Prabhupada disciple called Shravanananda Prabhu. And he was explaining about this. The same thing happened. Srila Prabhupada went into ecstasy and he couldn't speak. And the atmosphere was totally electric. Everybody was completely... and everybody felt totally ecstatic. And then to Shravanananda Prabhu's chagrin, Hamsadutta, so after I don't know how long it was, a few minutes maybe, he started playing mridanga and singing Hare Krishna. And everyone started looking at Hamsadutta, you know, why did you do that? It was so ecstatic, like, and you've broken the mood. And afterwards, Srila, some devotees to him and said, Prabhupada, was that the right thing to do when you went into ecstasy and you weren't speaking? And Prabhupada said, that is okay. So Hamsadutta was justified to some extent. But they felt very, they would have liked it to continue, but it didn't. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was expressing originally his ecstatic mood, but now he's coming into a different mood, his external mood. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, Sri Nityananda Prabhu considered Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's acceptance of sannyas to be useless. So that's what we'll cover in the Chaitanya Bhagavat. There's some purports by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur who explains something about that. He therefore relieved the Lord of the trouble of carrying the staff. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu expressed anger because he wanted to teach all other sannyasis that they should not give up the staff before attaining the platform of Paramahamsa. Why? Because seeing that the regulative principles could be slackened by such action, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to carry the staff personally. So he was setting an example that we shouldn't, or a sannyasi who's not at that very highest level should not abandon the danda. So there are four levels of sannyas. There's Kutichak, Bahudak, Parivrajakacharya, and Paramahamsa. So here is mentioned Paramahamsa. So a Paramahamsa is totally above all mundane considerations. And he's not bound by rules and regulations. Of course, everything, his whole mood is just to serve Krishna with ecstatic love. So there's no question, he's always going to, whatever he does, even if it seems to be breaking the rules and regulations, whatever he does actually is pleasing to Krishna. But others who are not at that level should not imitate such behavior. So, therefore, there are various udipans or items that remind us of how we're supposed to act, how we're supposed to behave. And so one of them for a sannyasi is the carrying danda in the first three stages. And I was asking Maharaj Atmanivedha Swami yesterday about this. And he said that actually it is an ISKCON rule, a GBC rule, that a sannyasi must carry a danda. But there are some exceptions, because sometimes it's just not practical, because when a sannyasi goes through the airport, then usually they say, what's in that? And they say, oh, just some bamboo canes. But then they said, really? And they said, open it up, we want to see. And so it's a whole performance. Maybe you've had some experience, have you? No? You weren't traveling with Maharaj, Bhakti Sri Maharaj, with his danda? No? Okay. So what they do, they tend to have a number of dandas in different places in the world, wherever they tend to go. Like Antaranga was telling me that Kadambakana Swami has a danda in Radhadesh, a danda in South Africa, a danda in Vrindavan, in Mayapur, like that. So wherever they can take the danda. But traveling with it is awkward. And also they get broken. and not broken because, you know, they fall down in ecstasy on it or anything like that. You know, just because they're put in the hold, you can't take it, apparently. There is one solution, which somebody has invented, a foldable danda, and then they put it in the in their suitcase. But apparently it's not ideal. so anyway, we don't have to worry too much about that. But of course, we have the same things. We don't have dandas as yet. Some of you, I think, probably will have a danda one day. Hopefully. I don't think ladies usually carry dandas. but we still have these udipan. That's the tilak, you know, wearing dhoti and like that. So these things are meant to, for our protection. And the danda is also meant for the protection of the sannyasi, because it makes him think that, oh, I have to behave like a proper sannyasi, because to set the example for others. And because the danda signifies three things: kaya, the body; mana, the mind; and vakya, words. So when the sannyasi puts his danda on the floor before paying obeisances, it reminds him that actually, yeah, I'm dedicating my body, mind, and words to the service of Krishna, and nothing else. They're not meant for any other purpose. My body, my mind, and my words are only meant for serving Krishna and pleasing him. Jai Sri Sri Radha Gokula Nanda Ki Jai. Sri Sri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai. Sri Sri Gonitai Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Got stuck, it seems. also, actually, Srila Prabhupada does say in the 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 13th chapter, that a danda can be given up for preaching. But if it's not given up for preaching, then it can be, and also, like, if we just go out without tilak, without devotional clothes, then it can be, you know, it's easier for us to actually misbehave. You know, because we can just be like any, we're just like anybody else. We don't stand out. But whereas if we're wearing devotional clothes and tilak and things, we know we're representing Krishna and the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, and people will judge us. If we do anything nonsense, they're going to say, oh, they're just nonsense people like everybody else. But so we have to behave like that. So that's why Lord Chaitanya became a little angry. But let's delve a little bit into the account given to us by Sri Vrindavan Das Thakur and Chaitanya Bhagavat. So Mahaprabhu was traveling with Nityananda Prabhu and other devotees, and they arrived at the Suvarnarekha River. This is where you cross into Jagannath Puri. So the Lord and the Vaishnavas took their bath there in the most pure waters of the Suvarnarekha River. Sri Gaurasunda, who is Lord Hari in the form of a human, made the Suvarnarekha glorious by taking bath in her waters, and then continued on his journey. Nityananda, in the company of Sri Jagarananda, fell far behind, because, you know, he's a bit of an avaduta, so he's not so conscious of external surroundings. Gaurachandra went some distance ahead and then sat down to wait for Nityananda Swarup. Lord Nityananda was always restless and intoxicated from being absorbed in thoughts of Lord Chaitanya. Yeah, he was absorbed in thoughts of Lord Chaitanya, not so much of Krishna, at least at this point. Maybe that's something we can also take on board. Sometimes he roared loudly, and sometimes he cried. So he's also showing these same symptoms that we heard about in this Bhagavatam verse. Sometimes he laughed loudly, and sometimes he made thundering sounds. Sometimes he would swim in the middle of the river, and sometimes he would smear dust all over his body. Sometimes, in ecstatic love, he would fall so forcefully to the ground that everyone would think his limbs were broken. Sometimes he danced on his own, and the earth would then sway back and forth. All such pastimes are not so astonishing for him, for he was Lord Ananta appearing in this world. And actually, if you read the beginning of Chaitanya Bhagavat, the Adi Kanda, this is from the Antya Kanda of the Chaitanya Bhagavat, you'll see that actually the first chapter is half of it, many, many, many verses, I can't recall exactly how many, 50 maybe, verses, are actually just explaining about the identity of Lord Nityananda. That he's Lord Balaram, that he's Ananta, he's Shesha. Many, many verses. So important, actually, is Lord Nityananda to our spiritual lives. Sometimes he danced on his own, and the earth would then sway back and forth. All such pastimes are not so astonishing for him, for he was Lord Ananta appearing in this world. All these pastimes were possible by Nityananda's mercy, for Gaurachandra constantly resides in his heart. When Nityananda Prabhu waited at one place, Jagadananda went out to beg alms. Sri Jagadananda generally carried the Lord's danda. He handed that danda to Nityananda Swarup and said, "Please take care of the Lord's danda. I will return in a few minutes after begging alms." With an agitated heart, Nityananda grabbed the danda and sat down there. Holding the danda in his hand, Lord Nityananda laughed. As his pastime, he then spoke to the danda. "O danda, it is not proper that he whom I carry within my heart should carry you." And there's a purport by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj, which is basically explaining about this. From the time Sri Gaurasunda accepted sannyas, he was keeping his danda with him. But sometimes Jagadananda Prabhu would carry Mahaprabhu's danda while going out to beg alms. Accepting the responsibility of carefully protecting Mahaprabhu's danda, Sri Nityananda Prabhu took the danda from Jagadananda and said to the danda, of course, in the spiritual world, everything is personal, isn't it? So I don't know, maybe Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's danda is not just some sticks of bamboo or anything. It is actually a person. We always, that's my speculation, so please don't take that. We always carry Sri Krishna, the Lord of the 14 worlds, within our hearts. We are his eternal servants. He's referring to the danda and himself. We are Krishna's eternal servants. You're committing an offense by making that Lord your carrier. Therefore, it is most appropriate for us to carry whatever symbols of accepting rules or renouncing restricted things that Sri Krishna, in the form of a devotee, has taken in his hand and on his shoulder. O danda, do not try to become the Lord of my Lord. Do not engage Mahaprabhu in carrying you anymore. So that was Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati expanding on the words that Nityananda spoke to the danda. It doesn't say here that the danda replied, but Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he says, the Prakriti Sahajiya, so-called devotees, engage Krishna in supplying their sense gratification by demanding religiosity, economic development, sense gratification, and liberation from him. This is not the mentality of devotees. So this is what Nityananda was complaining about, not happy about. Why the Lord was... one reason, anyway, why he shouldn't carry a danda. because it's not appropriate for the Supreme Personality of Godhead to be engaged as the servant of his devotees. After speaking in this way, the most powerful Balaram broke the danda into three pieces. And then there's a little explanation here. There's quite a long purport, which I won't read. But basically, he's talking about the ekadanda, which means one stick. That is the symbol of the Mayavadi sannyasis. And so, therefore, Nityananda broke the danda into three pieces and turned it into tridanda, three staffs, three sticks, like that. And then we haven't got much time, so I'll just go through the actual pastime. Only the Supreme Lord, this is the verse, next verse, only the Supreme Lord knows the will of the Supreme Lord. How will I know why he broke the danda? This is Nityananda Prabhu still speaking. Nityananda knows the mind of Gaurachandra, and Sri Gaurasunda knows the mind of Nityananda. In every yuga, they appear as two brothers, such as Sri Ram and Lakshman. They always know each other's mind. The one Lord has become two to teach devotional service. One can know Gaurachandra only through Nityananda. So basically, what he's saying is that Nityananda, he knew the mind of Lord Chaitanya, so he actually broke it. He broke it because that was actually the desire of Lord Chaitanya. But he became angry just to show the example that actually those who are not Paramahamsas should actually have a danda. The next verse. Who other than Balaram is powerful enough to break Lord Chaitanya's danda? Sri Gaurasunda taught everyone by this pretext. Anyone who understands this truth is easily delivered. After breaking the danda, Nityananda sat there. Shortly thereafter, Jagannanda returned. He was greatly astonished on seeing the broken danda, and he felt apprehensive at heart. He asked, "Who broke the danda?" Nityananda replied, "He who held it." A very clever retort there. Because that could mean, you know, normally Lord Chaitanya holds it, but he also held it at some point. So he's, you know, it could be taken different ways. The Lord broke his own danda. Who else is capable of breaking it? When that brahmana heard this reply, he did not say anything. He quickly took the broken danda and left. He went to the place where Sri Gaurasunda was sitting and placed the broken danda before the Lord. The Lord said, "Tell me how this danda was broken. Did you have a fight with someone on the way?" Jagannanda Pandit narrated the entire incident to the Lord and said, "The overwhelmed Nityananda broke the danda." The Lord then asked Nityananda, "Tell me why you broke my danda." Nityananda replied, "I broke only a piece of bamboo. If you cannot forgive me, then punish me appropriately." And then there's quite a long purport again, which I won't read. The Lord said, "All the demigods reside in the danda, and you call it a piece of bamboo?" There's a short purport here, which I will read. According to spiritual consideration, one should respect the supremely pure tridanda, which is a worshipable form of the three guna avatars. Just thought you might be interested in that. It's a worshipable form of the three guna avatars, like Vishnu, Brahma, Shiva. But since the mundane consideration that the deity form is made of stone leads one to hell, Sri Nityananda delivered all living entities from future offense. Who can understand the pastimes of Sri Gaurasunda? He thinks one thing and says something else. Therefore, know for certain that anyone who says, "I understand Krishna's mind," is a fool. He may show great affection even to a person he intends to kill, yet he may neglect devotees for whom he considers equal to or greater than his own life. Such pastimes are inconceivable and unfathomable. Only one who is favored by the Lord can understand them. Out of his sweet will, Gaura Hari, Lord Chaitanya, broke the tridanda and then expressed anger. The Lord said, "This danda was my only companion. Now today, by Krishna's will, it was broken." And to finish off a final purport, from the mundane point of view, the only asset of a sannyasi is his danda. One who carries a danda maintains himself by begging door to door, and by accepting a danda, he protects himself from the attack of the external world. The omnipotent Lord Gaurasunda displayed humility by declaring that his only asset was a danda to attract ordinary people's affection on the mundane level. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai. Sri Nityananda Prabhu ki jai. Nitai Gaura Premanandi. Hari Hari Bol. Any questions or comments? I don't guarantee I can answer them, but...
Thank you very much for the wonderful class. I just wanted some clarification on the acceptance and rejections of the danda staff for sannyasi. Mm-hmm. So actually, there are three parts to my question. The first part is, I don't know if this was asked maybe recently. It was in the thing text 42-43. I probably missed that class. But Prabhupada gives more description on the position of sannyasi accepting the danda and rejecting. So like you mentioned, obviously, kuticha, baudaka,
paribhrajaka.
In that purport it says hamsa, I guess it's the same, and then paramahamsa. And Prabhupada says these are the four stages. In the first two, one, he doesn't mention has to, which is kind of a bit contradicting with the purport or what anyways we follow nowadays. It says one can, only on this stage of kuticha and baudaka, one can carry a danda staff, but on the stages of hamsa and paramahamsa, one must give up the staff. So it seems very clear that the first part is you can, but it doesn't have to, and the second part on the higher stages, you must give it up. And what I'm trying to understand is in the purport today, Prabhupada speaks only about the final stage. So it's a technical thing, but it does seem like yeah, it's different. Whereas there it says on the third stage you must give it up. In this purport today it says only on the fourth stage. So I don't know if there's clarifications on that.
Well, in one of the purports from the Chaitanya Bhagavat, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, I think, says that a paramahansa must give up. Mm. He must give up. It's his duty to give it up. Yeah, I don't have clarity, really.
Yeah, it seems it goes in the same line, but it does say one is only in the fourth stage and the other one...
The main thing is, rather than the technicalities, let's, on the principle, which is, focus on that, which is that if somebody is on the level of, you know, a spontaneous devotee, uttama adhikari, like that, then they don't have to, they don't need this udipan, this reminder of what, you know, they're practicing to be, you know, to surrender everything, body, mind, and words to the Lord. They don't need it. So they don't have to have it. I mean, but they may, I suppose they may choose to carry it, but the others, they should really hold it. And in ISKCON, I think somebody was mentioning about Bhakti Rasayana Sagar Maharaj. He always carries a danda. Of course, he's a fairly recent sannyasi, a couple of years. But he was told, I think, by Indrajumna Swami, who gave him sannyas, that that for 10 years he should hold it. He should hold the danda. So basically, it doesn't, like Atmanivedanta Swami was explaining to me yesterday, just because you become initiated, you become a Brahmana, you get second initiation, doesn't mean to say you're a Brahmana. It means, okay, you've been given that opportunity and now you have to acquire the qualification. So in the same way, a sannyasi, it's not that he's on the highest level, but he's aspiring for that and he's practicing. So the danda helps him too. But in ISKCON, there are some dispensations because of the practicalities of it. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and that's what Prabhupada says in a purport in the seventh canto, that for preaching you can give up the danda. That was the first part.
Yeah, so you kind of went into the second, but like you said, we can for preaching also carry. But for example, Prabhupada was carrying a danda, but then it says that the Paramahamsa must give up. It seems very clear instruction. So that's what also seems, I don't understand, if it says it must shastrically.
Well, one point is, of course, that the topmost devotee, Paramahamsa, may come down to the Majjhima Adhikari level, like that. And actually, that's connected. That was something I would have spoken about if there was time. That actually, you can't really preach if you're just in that mood of, laughing and dancing in ecstatic love, like that. So Prabhupada, he came down to that Majjhima Adhikari level just to,
So I think it was mentioned in the other purport is pretty much, I think in the previous 143 where it says that when one sannyasi has traveled around the world and preached the cult of bhakti, at that point he must give up his danda. So, but understand, it's pretty much when a sannyasi would go into samadhi in bhajan. But as long as he's preaching, for example, like Prabhupada, then he still accepts the sannyas for preaching. And yeah. Similarly, Mahaprabhu was kind of showing the same thing.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
That's what I don't know if that's correct, but that's what I understand.
Yeah, sounds reasonable. Really, a Paramahamsa, I don't know if it was Maharaj telling me, actually, really, a Paramahamsa, he's not a sannyasi, he's above that. Sannyasi is part of the Varnashram system, and therefore they should accept the accoutrements, the danda, whatever, the uttariya, the top part, top piece that they wear, and, different dhoti and things like that, to set the example.
Just teaching an example.
Yeah.
Actually, Paramahamsa means transcending all yeah. ashrams. And,
yeah.
Okay. And the last question was in regards to... forgot it now. How does one understand? Because we understand if a Paramahamsa, a liberated person, he doesn't see himself as a pure devotee. So how does he understand? Is it his personal decision at some point when he gets to that stage? Obviously, in Prabhupada's case, it would be different because we're preaching.
Mm-hmm.
But in other persons' life, if they get to that stage, how does that manifest? Is it...
Well, it's just like, a topmost devotee, like Prajan Prabhu was mentioning yesterday, they don't consider themselves advanced. They consider themselves lower than the worm and stool and all that. Bhakti Rasamrita Swami, he never asked for sannyas. And I don't think he ever would have asked for sannyas. But he was told, you should take it now.
Mm.
Like that. So, of course, some devotees do aspire for sannyas merely for preaching, because they think it will help in preaching, and also for purification. It's actually a very painful situation to be in, sannyas, because you're always, give a class at a moment's notice, no preparation, right up in the front, always, considered to be, and also worshipped. And that's very difficult, especially somebody who, does think they're not so advanced, to receive so much worship and service and things. It's not easy position to be in.
It'd be a recommendation,
the
stuff.
Yeah, I don't know if... I suppose it must have happened. I have no idea. I don't know if anybody in ISKCON has ever been told.
I don't know.
Probably not. But I don't know. I don't know if anybody has any. But yes, probably they would... maybe the GBC say, okay, you don't carry a danda anymore. I don't know. Yes.
Thank you so much, Gokrishna Prabhu, for your class. Really, really nice class. I just wanted to... for you to clarify something that you kind of brought up at the start of the class, real quickly, mm-hmm. In regards to presentation. So, like, what things as a devotee should we show? And, you know, what things should we refrain from showing for the sake of, you know, the reactions that we would get from others, etc. I don't know, you probably must have concluded on something about that, but I was just, it's in regards to a conversation that Srila Prabhupada was having with some of his disciples, and, you know, the transcriptions of his conversations, and some disciples are complaining about the dancing of other disciples in the temple room. And Srila Prabhupada responded by mentioning, you know, I've given a standard, what more can I do? Somewhat pertaining to the fact that it's not really needed to do all those things as a means to kind of generate enthusiasm. So I just wanted to hear what, you know, you'd say on that.
Well, yeah, I mean, we devotees refrain from crying in ecstasy. I mean, I don't know, I've never felt that urge to do that myself, but I have seen others sometimes, you know, not ostentatiously, but, you know, some tears coming down the face when they see the Lord. But, you know, so generally we wouldn't, you know, we wouldn't display deep emotions in public. What else? I don't know. Anybody got any ideas? What? Oh, I mean, basically, yes, just wild dancing and making, you know, loud, thunderous sounds that we would describe and things like that. Yeah, no, we have to try and, we just like Indradumna Swami and his, like, Polish tour. I mean, we have some who've probably been on that. The ladies are trained to dance very beautifully and in front, actually. Because it makes a good impression, and people like it. You know, they think, wow, this is... And everybody has to, you can confirm, everybody has to dress very nicely. Not only the ladies, I think, the men as well. To make a good impression. But they don't go wild and start, you know, they actually have a choreography, don't they? And so it makes a very nice impression. Whereas if, I mean, sometimes devotees go out in Harinam, or they have gone out in Harinam, looking really scruffy, you know, with their dhotis kind of halfway up their backside and things like that. And, you know, it doesn't make a good impression, you know. Whereas you see most sannyasis, they are actually immaculate. And they look, and when they're walking, often they look like they're gliding, don't they? Like that. So basically, you know, We should try to act in such a way that other people will feel, oh, this is nice. This is, you know, they appreciate.
Yeah. So more for preaching and for, you know, for others to be probably you know, interested in inquiring more about Krishna consciousness.
Yeah, absolutely.
But like, so if let's say, like, you know, we're by ourselves, like in the temple rooms and stuff like this. Yeah. If we have the desire to do such things but refrain from doing it anyway. Is that still okay? Or if I choose not to dance, is that a fault?
No,
of my
we
part,
should dance. Or? We should dance for the pleasure of their lordships, but not for our pleasure, not just because, you know, we get some kick out of being wild when we're dancing, but for the pleasure. So very graceful dancing is, you know, and it can be energetic sometimes. That will be pleasing to the Lord if he feels everybody's so enthusiastic like that. But not over the top. Prayojan, you wanted to say that?
It's interesting that it's also an expression of the soul, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
The dancing is an expression of the soul. And of course, we have the soul, our soul, within us. Mm-hmm. And so you can feel joyful and not feel guilt about it. It's not a...
No.
It's a thing. It's just... It's and that's what really actually attracted to me this Krishna consciousness movement.
What, dancing?
Was the just expression that you could express happiness. It wasn't just a sober institution of meditation.
Not like sitting on a pew in church.
And reaching nirvana or whatever you're getting.
Yeah, good point. Nice.
It was just a full expression of the soul and its nature.
Yeah.
That's what I found so attractive. Prabhupada says, you're just expressing what Krishna's giving you and you're part of Krishna.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, internally we should be ecstatic.
Yeah.
And we can express some, but not...
So it's joy.
Yeah, not so much that it's off-putting for others.
Yeah,
no. Any ladies have any comments or questions? No?
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for your class. I just had a question. You said when you were reading that the demigods reside in the danda. Is that right? Could you explain a little bit more on that?
Well, I don't know if I can actually, to be honest, but I'll. According to spiritual consideration, one should respect the supremely pure Tridanda, which is a worshipable form of the three guna avatars. That's what Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says. It doesn't say any more than that. I wouldn't like to.
Thank you.
But it's coming from a bona fide source. So we shouldn't think of the danda as being a mundane thing. Basically, that's what it is. Okay, let's finish. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Nitai Gaura Premanand.